You'll find an authorized version of the Holy Scriptures in the English tongue before you in the pew. Pick it up and turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, Luke's Gospel. We're reading a portion from chapter 3 and a portion from chapter 13. The portion from chapter 3 is verse 3 to verse 9. And the portion from chapter 13 is from verse 6 to verse 9. The third chapter of Luke's Gospel, verse 3. Reading it together with me, taking your time from me at verse 3. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Turning to chapter 13 of the same gospel, and reading from verse 6 to verse 9. Verse 6 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And God will bless this reading of his own most precious word to all our hearts. I'd like you to open your Bible with me at the 13th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And I want to read with you verse 8, Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, and verse 8. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall have dug it, shall dig about it and dung it. Let it alone this year also is a motto text I want to take for the incoming year. We teeter today on the edge of another year, the seventh year of the third millennium, the year 2007, after the resurrection of Christ. What will this year bring? What does it hold? And what will the coming weeks reveal? We know not what its days will bring forth. But we as believers in Christ have the solid path of where God has planned for us to walk before us. In the years gone past, there has always been the work of an unfailing, faithful God, working out in grace and providence what is good for us all. For our God makes no mistakes. And we can say that for this year also. We have also the faith in an unfailing God for this year also. We also know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose for this year also. We have proved in the past that God never faileth, and we know that we will prove that for this year also. We have had the experience that God never ever rejects His people, and we know that for this year also that will be true. Through all the perplexities that are going to come this year, through all the testings and all the trials and all the triumphs, we can gaze out on the road never touched with human feet, but rather through God with the footsteps of Christ upon it. For He constructed the way that we should go. And we can say in happy confidence, all is here as well for this year also. Mount Zion's faithful King proclaims in faithfulness that every needful thing His children shall possess, and they will ever sound abroad. Great is the faithfulness of God. He's faithful to regard the promises of grace, and all He hath declared shall surely come to pass, and His dear saints will sound abroad, great is the faithfulness of God. None could e'er truly say they sought the Lord in vain. He'll evermore display His love to seeking men. They delight to sound abroad, great is the faithfulness of God. O Lord, Thy word fulfilled, Thy presence now make known. Now, dear Lord, reveal the glories of Thy throne. Then with Thy children sound abroad, great is the faithfulness of God. I turn you this morning to this brief parable which the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. Yet it is one of the most important parables of all his parables. It follows the reference of our Lord to two prominent events, which at that time had been in the minds and in the lips of all Jerusalem and all of the promised land. You'll find those two great tragedies in verses 2-5. And as Jerusalem hummed with the story of those two atrocities, Jesus Christ put as a backcloth to them this parable, the parable of the fig tree. In Isaiah chapter 5, we read of the vineyard of the Lord of hosts. That vineyard is defined for us as the house of Israel. But this is a different vineyard referred to in this parable by Christ. The Almighty God is the certain man of the parable, the owner of the vineyard. The fig tree represents Israel, and the vine trees the other nations upon the earth. God came seeking fruit from it for 3 years, but he found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find out. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? The unfruitful tree robbed all the other trees by using up the space of the vineyard which it cumbered. The 3 years mentioned were wasted. There was no growth. No fruit, no space for others. The 3 years underlines, however, the patience of God and the length of time he extends his mercy to us. The axe, Christ said, is laid to the root of the tree. This was a solemn warning that judgment may tarry, but it will most certainly come, and we can expect it. I call your attention, first of all, to the reprobation of this tree. It was not a vine tree, but a fig tree. Strange thing to put a fig tree in the vineyard. The fig tree is the first tree to be identified in the Bible after the fall. Our fallen parents went to the fig tree to get a covering for their sinfulness. They were not looking for fruit. They were there to gather leaves to make themselves aprons. Adam became naked by losing God's glorious likeness by his act of sin. For what the law could not, how great was the lift which Christ gives to us when he brings us back from the pit into it, which we were brought by the first Adam. The judgment of God upon the fig tree is significant in all the scriptures. The fig tree is pictured as refusing the crown, the sovereignty of all the trees. Judges 9:10-11. And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Sinful Israel is pictured as the first ripe in the fig tree. But after that, Israel went to Baal Peor and took part in the filth and in the judgment of that sinful, idolatrous place. In Numbers 23 and 28, we read that Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor that looked towards Jeshemoth. The destruction of Israel is described as a barking of my fig tree by the prophet Joel. Habakkuk describes the apostasy as the time of the languishing of the fig tree. Matthew tells us that Christ cursed the fig tree. The only tree he cursed during his ministry was the fig tree. The last reference in the whole Bible to the fig tree is in the book of Revelation, when the fig tree is accused of casting her untimely figs. So the Bible's first mention of the fig tree is one of condemnation. And the Bible's last mention of the fig tree is again a word of condemnation. So here in this garden, this vineyard, we see the fig tree. It's still barren. It's still naked of fruit. It is still a reprobate tree. Sinner in this meeting, have you pushed your way into the vineyard of God? Do you pretend to be part of God's vineyard when you are in reality a cumber of the ground? The day will come when the owner of the vineyard will overshadow with his person you, and he will accuse you of being a waster, one that cumbers the ground. Let's take another look. We have also the retaliation of the tree's owner. He spake also this parable: a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereof, and found none. That certain man, Almighty God, planted a vineyard, and then ordered the plantation of this fig tree in that vineyard. That certain man is God the Father. He planted the fig tree. He directed where and how it should be planted. He left it in the care of the dresser of the vineyard, his eternal Son. The dresser did everything to the tree that was required to be done for 3 long years. Note that no word of rebuke was ever whispered about lack of care for this tree. It got all the care that the vineyard's eternal Son gave to it. The care was rejected. The time was lengthened. God's forbearing was forthcoming. But now the patience of the owner is at an end. The owner publicly states the position. He had the tree planted. He himself chose the place it should have had its roots. His dresser had used all his skills. He came for 3 years seeking fruit and got none. His forbearance rightly came to an end, and he now retaliated. He passed righteous judgment on this tree. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Because the Lord looks upon you in the vineyard. Does he have to pass that sentence on you? You that had every opportunity to be profitable to him, and instead you cumbered the ground. This sentence was most reasonable. The tree was useless. It had valuable investment put into it, but there was no interest coming from that valuable investment. Why should this tree remain? It was not planted to be a useless ornament. It was planted to bring forth fruit. It failed to do so. Not for just 1 year, not for 2 years, but for 3 whole years. It was a parasite. Cut it down by all manner of means. It is an offense. It is a nuisance. It is valueless. It cumbereth the ground. Is God to say that as he beholds you this morning? Are you a waster in his garden? A fruitless plant in his vineyard? A cumberer of the ground? The ox knoweth its owner, Isaiah the prophet tells us. But you do not in the least honor your owner. You are best described as an ungrateful fig tree in the words of the Holy Spirit in the Epistle of Jude. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for a reward, and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. God has given you house room. He's provided for all your needs. Yet you have not obeyed him. You have become a very costly tree in his vineyard. The time comes when God calls in his investment. If a worthless tree had no right to stand any longer, what right have you to stand in the vineyard of God and not bear any fruit? But let's look at the recuperation of this tree. The dresser answering said to him, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. The dresser became an intercessor. The way to recuperation is now set before us. The intercession of the eternal Son, the seed pleading before his Father. It's well for you, sinner, that there's one who still pleads for you before his Father. Holding back the legitimate sentence of judgment, he cries to his Father. The Son doesn't make any excuse for the fruitlessness of this tree. Nor does he make one plea for its continuation. Please note that. He rather talks about recuperation from barrenness, not continuation and barrenness. That God has spared you so long, sinner, barren, fruitless, useless sinner, is a miracle of God's patience, God's forbearance, and God's mercy. As such sinners, we must all say, I have long withstood God's grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his calls, grieved him by a thousand falls. Depth of mercy can there be? Mercy still reserved for me. Can my God, my wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. Oh, but there is one who successfully intercedes for us sinners. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Christ his Son and our Savior speaks effectual prayers. He strongly pleads for sinners. Forgive them, all, forgiver. Forgive, he cries, nor let the ransomed sinner die. But we look again, and we find out the rejuvenation of this tree. If it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. The dresser's aim was to bring life to this tree, to make it young again, that it might bring forth luscious fruit. The one who said, cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And in mercy say, I will dig about you that you may bring forth fruit, and all the praise will be mine, and all the fruits will be yours. How great and good a gracious God is. His forbearance is wonderful, and his ways are past finding out. How guilty you have been in cursing God and provoking him. Oh, sinner, in your rage, you have called God even to damn you. It is well he didn't. No, his grace reaches even to you. Every one of us in this house today has to confess, I have shed his precious blood. Trampled on the Son of God, filled with pain unspeakable, I who yet am not in hell. We must wonder over what we call the waste of life. But thank God, God does not waste his love. His love becomes triumphant. And now our song is, we who have been redeemed, loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full, this perfect peace, oh, this transport, all divine, in a love that cannot cease, I am his, and he is mine. Will it bear fruit? Will you bear fruit this year also? We have the ratification of the tree sentence. The sentence passed was revoked. If it bear fruit, the owner said, well. The intercessor said, well, the Father will not turn his Son nor turn away from his intercession. This is a prophecy and a parable. The prophecy found a typical fulfillment in the cursing of the barren fig tree in Matthew 21:16-18 and Mark 11:12-14 and verses 20 and 21. Read those passages. One actual fulfillment in judgment was the destruction of Jerusalem. Don't let it cumber the ground anymore. Tear it down. I hear the trump, trump, trump of Caesar's invasion army. I see the great temple put to the flame. I see the city of Jerusalem burned with fire. The verse 9 here brings us to the end of the parable. Notice especially every means was used to make the fig tree fruitful. The soil in which the tree stood was to be loosened. The tree was to be properly and regularly manured and fertilized. And all other encouragements used to produce the one desired result to bear fruit. So Christ comes to reprobate sinners and offers them all they need in order to live. He multiplies their opportunities and their possibilities. All that Christ does in preaching and indoctrination shall be vigorously applied. No obstacle must stand in the way of breaking up and fertilizing the soil. Christ's miracle would break the soil that had been so stubborn for 3 years. And his blood was the power that would bring this tree to have a harvest of fruit. You can take the 3 years here literally, for Christ made this parable in the third year of his own ministry. Christ's third year of ministry had just concluded. The dresser was speaking of another year, the fourth year. This year also, what was that year? That was the year of Pentecost. That was the year when the New Testament church burst forth. Before that year, it bore no fruit. Before that year, it cumbered the ground. But the 3 years are over. Christ has intervened. And the year of fruit bearing has come. John Burgeon, the great Bible expositor, said, year after year, to lead an unprofitable life, to resist God's visitations in boyhood, in manhood and old age, putting forth much leafy promise, but producing no fruit. What is this but to stand like a barren fig tree in the Lord's own vineyard? Such an one does more than cumber the ground. His presence does actual mischief. In the meantime, he whoever liveth to make intercession is still the merciful advocate, who pleads for one more year of grace, and during that year spares no pains to make the man fruitful. The parallel here in the case of individuals is obvious. Pharaoh, the year was useless. He perished. Balaam, the year was useless. He perished. Saul, the year was useless, and he perished. Herod, the year was useless, and he perished. Judas, the year was useless, and he perished. And so with the old world, Sodom perished. Nineveh perished. Jerusalem perished. Every individual has his probation with God. Perhaps your probation has run out or is running out at this service. Why cumbereth it the ground? Cut it down. No wonder old John Berry wrote the words, "Jesus, thou pleasant art, and excellently fair, and for a loving heart, none with thee compare. Majestic on a throne, yet mild, a king yet lowly as a child. The Savior bows his ears when sinners humbly cry, and true heartbroken prayer is sure to bring supply. He turns no beggars from his gate, come when they will or sooner late. His face is fair and bright, with blushes here and there, as mild and soft as light and sweet as roses are. A single smile from Jesus given can lift a drooping soul to heaven. This is the sinner's friend, divinely fair and good, whose love can have no end when sealed with his own blood. His grace I sing, his name adore, his person love, and would love more. I'm glad God doesn't say of me, why cumbereth he the ground? Because one day, by his grace, he succeeded in making a plant that was useless into a tree that brought forth the fruit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and righteousness. And every child of God born again of the Holy Ghost has become a tree that bears fruit. But it's God's will and purpose and command that we should bear much fruit, and we should bear more fruit. May we not cumber the ground this year in our Christian service. May we not cumber the ground and the opportunity that God has given us to win the lost for Christ. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. May that be the prayer request of every child of God. And if you're a cumber of the ground sinner, time is running out for you. But grace there is still for you. For where sin aboundeth, grace does much more abound. The grace of God is longer than your sin. It's deeper than your sin. It's higher than your sin. It's broader than your sin. And I have a message of hope for you. You don't need to cumber the ground. You can be saved, and you can go from this house to serve God in fruit bearing to the glory of the Master who has touched you. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we pray thy blessing upon thy word, and we pray that none shall cumber the ground, but all will be fruit bearing to thy glory and praise forevermore. And the people of God said, Amen.